On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are drinking some DDH Simcoe juice as we talk about the temporary closing of Ballast Point, and we get into some of the Bourbon County news that's hitting the airwaves. All that more on this week's episode. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And getting our juice on.
Man, DDA Simcoe juice?
This is from Alarmist. They previously, in 2019, had DDH Simcoe Le Juice that they poured at the Great Taste of the Midwest.
I feel like the color scheme is different. Yeah. Like, I feel like it was like pink. Well, you got a cup, right?
The juice is a different color. Pink is a different version.
I thought
mosaic.
It was this
one. It's the mosaic. Okay. Juice. So I don't know if it's different than Simcoe Le Juice, but it's Simcoe Juice. Either way, it is excellent.
I enjoy this beer. New England style India Pale Ale. They should just own it, man. They should get New England out of there and replace it with a local reference and own it because, you know, the whole gold thing.
I know. The can's even gold, you know, letting you know. Medal winner right here. That's regular juice. But yeah, regular juice is like orange can.
There's cat piss all over the Christmas tree. I have no idea what that means.
Is that what it says on there?
Did you just say the same? On the side.
Oh. The juice top exclusively, there's cat piss all over the Christmas tree. Yeah.
I got nothing. I don't know what's going on there, Brett.
It's tasty. We were on our lager kick for a little bit there with our steins, Oktoberfest. I was feeling a little haze.
It's nice to get back. Mm-hmm. Nice to get back to the basics. Calling haze the basics.
I guess, yeah. I did pick up some Freebird from Beguile because I was like, you know what? I just want a pale ale. I crushed like almost all of my cans of Fader like really fast too.
That's the half acre one?
Yeah. And that's delicious. So, but yeah, I'm sure we'll knock back these cans here and get a little tipsy from, what is it? It's only 6%. All right. Whew. That like eight and a half, that'll like throw you off your horse.
Throw you off your horse, man.
So we missed last week. Maybe depending on when I get this episode up, maybe not according to the listeners. But yeah, how's your drinking non-adventures going?
Good, man. Good. Trying to think of what I did. I stopped by Off Color.
Nice.
Picked up a hoodie.
They gave black on black one?
Black on black. Oh, so nice. It's, I can't believe it's, I can ride my bike in it, but any 10 more degrees and I can't even wear it. Oh. Well, I put on pants for the first time in a long time today. I'm wearing khakis. black on black hoodie's nice. You know, I chatted with Ben, who runs their social media.
Yeah.
And, we were drinking. I'm like, dude, I haven't had anything on draft in fucking forever. He's like, come in. Is, you know, I go out and we drink. I'm drinking something called Sox.
Okay.
And I just saw the label for it.
So that was your first beer since March at a place.
Yeah. So they're not letting people drink inside, but the patio was open. Mm-hmm. So we're just hanging out. You know, he's pouring a beer. I kind of got my distance, but we're talking.
Okay. You know? But you were inside, yeah.
I was inside. Okay. Yeah. And I think Sox was a spin on, I'm trying to find it here. It's a spin on one of their beers. The one where they put all the, they gather yeast from all these different breweries and then made like this collaborative thing.
Okay.
But this thing had like lemon lime in it.
That's cool.
Which was really cool. And it was fun catching up, man.
Did that feel like a worthwhile beer to have for your first?
Oh, because the lemon lime came at you right away.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, dude, I'm so happy right now. Like, I forgot how much I missed that feeling. You know? So I was asking him some questions just about how things work, you know. And he was like, you know, it's kind of weird. Well, you know, all the sales folks, like, you got to reduce staff, right? Mm-hmm. But then it's tough being in a place where every weekend is you're expecting like 125 people, like all day, all weekend.
Yeah, so I believe I've seen on Twitter that their patio is booked almost all the time, like, because you have to get reservations and it's booked.
So they're managing. And then I asked a question about, what was it? I asked a question about distilling, right? Because I'm like, you know, because we were talking to Bulldog and they were talking about, well, if it's in a keg, you don't want to put it in another package, right?
Right.
But then, you know, distilling's an option because what was that festival in San Antonio? I think the World Beer Cup that got canceled.
Yeah, they took all the beer and
gave it to a distiller who made hand sanitizer. But what about just straight up making liquor with it?
Yeah.
And I think his response was they had some conversations with a local distiller, but since, you know, well, no one could control what the quality would be like. What will this taste like, right?
Yeah, okay. Because
the distiller didn't have. Now, you know, they call, in the distillation process, it's called distiller's beer, right? The pre-distilled liquid.
Okay.
But it's not actual beer. So here you show up with actual beer, right? And you want to mimic that process. No one really knows what that's going to taste like. So they were like, nah, we don't really know.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
You know, so.
How do you say, did you ask him how sales are going? I've heard.
He said everyone's either, like, everyone's above water. If they're above water, it's barely above water.
Okay.
That's what we talked about.
But it seems like the distribution, if you have your beer in these big places, Whole Foods, Mariano's, Jewel, whatever, you're doing better than the people who don't.
Yeah, I think he was saying ironically, like, their top seller in their catalog is Apex Predator. But on site, it's not the top seller. Like, no one wants Apex Predator. They want whatever you're selling here.
Yeah, okay. Right?
Which was kind of funny. And I think their distro, because, you know, they go through two distros. Locally, it's the Miller House or Windy City or whoever it is. And they can't get enough of, like, beer for golf.
Oh, okay.
He gave us beer for pizza with it.
Oh, nice! I almost picked that up. I was kind of the name's fun.
So So Windy City locally, and then 12% I think is their national distro.
Because the Alarmist guy, when I picked up the beer,
I'm gonna find a name of beer while you're talking.
They were saying that they can't keep up with sales. Like, they, although, you know, taproom was a huge part of their business, they've just kind of shifted all their money or all their efforts to distribution. And so it's doing great, and they're selling more beer. And they even recently, I saw on Facebook or Twitter that they had brought in new tanks. So they're like,
oh, shit.
It's, I think there's a lot of places that are having trouble. But then there's plenty that are, like, moving forward. And, you know, if you're still making great beer and you've now made it 8 months really with no issues, all right, go for it. Especially someone like Alarmist, know the breweries around them. Off Color, they kind of have a good spot right there, especially if you live over there. You're more likely to, like, go either sit on the patio or go pick a beer from there.
They kind of converted the whole indoor space to kind of just, like, dedicated for takeout.
Yeah.
Right? So all the tables have, like, you know, people's names and bags. Like, the whole room is full of
that. Nice, okay.
So that part is definitely rolling. But I think, this thing is, Sox is a wild fermented saison with dried limes and dried African lemons and aged in a fooder for, 6.5%. So.
Neat.
So that was fun. It was nice to get over there.
Cool.
And talk a little bit. So
that's sweet. Oh, yeah, I still haven't gone in anywhere. I was patio. It's running out of time. I either have to make the call for a patio beer or.
Well, now, right? I think some places. I mean, if you wanted to, you could hang out. I guess. Like.
Inside.
At reduced capacity.
Oh right, right.
Yeah, if you wanted to.
I wanted to. Yeah. Yeah. But speaking of, like, places that making it or not making it, we got another brewery biting the dust here in Chicago.
Man.
or temporarily. I say that with quotes.
That's the phrase of the day. Because last week it was Fire Rabbit, and this week it's Kings and Convicts.
Mm-hmm. So first Argus, then Fire Rabbit. Now Kings, not Kings and Convict, the Kings and Convict, but yeah. Ballast Point location that Kings and Convict owns in Chicago.
Yeah, the little brew pub that could, man. I think most of their beer was coming from Virginia, but they had like a little small, like, two-barrel system or something.
Yeah, two or three. We went there, and one of those beers won an award at the World Beer Cup. It might have been their hazy beer.
I think
took
right.
bronze yeah. on a three-barrel system.
It's impressive. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's pretty cool.
Right, and we met when we were there the first time, we have our Ballast Point. Chicago Beer Pass hats.
That's right. We were there for the, what was it, like the dinner,
preview,
right?
Where like everyone launch, was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They did a really cool 2-day launch event. I think one day was just everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Just kind of soft open. Everybody, like, over fucking crowded. The typical soft open.
Yeah. And we talked to the brewer. He moved here and he wasn't, like, he didn't know anything about Chicago either. Yeah. So he, like, came for this.
Yeah. They did the overcrowded launch event, and then like the night or two later was this dinner, much more in line with like a proper, like there was maybe like 12 people there.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that's my speed. I like that. But yeah, they did it right though, man. I think they talked about, you know, their history as a brew shop. I think we all left with like homebrewing equipment.
Yeah, I still have mine.
Same. I haven't cracked. I think I put the hops in the fridge. But shit, that was like 2 years ago. Like, I haven't made batch one from this fucking thing.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. I never opened the box. So.
But I don't know. For them to go from a homebrew shop to just cranking out double IPAs, intentionally hiding the alcohol level, right, mm-hmm. making them approachable, to going national super fucking fast.
Right, and then IPAs with every fruit you can imagine.
Oh, my God.
And then they had craft cocktails for a little bit that got sold to someone else.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the cocktail piece.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So homebrew shop, brewery, and then cocktail producer.
Yeah.
And then they went national.
Because someone bought them. Oh, yeah. Heineken. No.
Yeah.
Right? Who bought
them? Oh, Constellation Brands.
Yeah.
Which I think is... It might be. Heineken might be on the Constellation Brands or Corona or somebody.
Yeah.
For sure it was Constellation Brands. Oh, but
they didn't buy the craft distiller, or the craft cocktail part. That was like its own thing that got ssold separately.
They bought the brewery for $1 billion. Holy fuck. Even still, years later.
That's so crazy.
Man, I lost my train of thought thinking about that. Oh, their Crash and Burn kind of reminds me of like Krispy Kreme, where, and I don't know if this was the late 90s or early 2000s, or whenever the Krispy Kreme boom was, everything, old Wendy's, old gas stations, all these spots were turning into Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme was all of a sudden everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that, it was gone. I'd say like 2003.
Yeah.
And by 2006, they were all gone. Now there's like one.
Yeah, people are like, oh, donuts, they're not very good for us. We can't eat them all the time. Why do we have so many places? All right. We're good.
I mean, yeah, I can see them getting, I can see the cream coming off. It looks great. It's, you know, it got the little sign flashing.
Right.
That's neat.
I can't eat a donut every, I want, I would like to, but I really shouldn't have a donut every day.
They grew super fast. Yeah. I think.
You didn't want another Sculpin with something. Like when they launched in Chicago, I remember when they launched in Chicago because we were at some sort of event or a party. And then I was like, oh, Happy, or no, the bar over here in Roscoe on.
Happy Village?
Is that Happy Village? Not no,
Happy Village is for.
Village Tap.
Okay. Yes.
Had Sculpin IPA on tap, and I was like, we're going. And we, like, jumped in the car, and we went over there just to get Sculpin. Cause
like, before they showed up? Before
it was, like, the first week of them launching in Chicago. I was like, it's here. This beer's amazing. We're going.
Yeah. I think part when you go in that place and you see it's right in Fulton Market, and, you know, there's a ton of breweries around there. And just a ton of, like, small local operations. Then Ballast Point comes in, and they have a space that's, I would say, just as big or maybe bigger than every other brewery location over there.
Yeah, it's bigger than Cruz Blanca. Probably maybe size of Haymarket.
Yeah. But they have, like, a ridiculous, it's no exaggeration, they have, like, 60-plus taps.
of just their beer.
No guest drafts. Like, we noticed that right away, and we're like, I don't know how this plays out. Like, okay, I'm here hanging out waiting to get my table at the Publican, mm-hmm. or I'm here with 20 people, and, you know, we're going to go bar hop. But there's no local presence at all other right. than your Three Barrel System beer. So there's 70 goddamn Ballast Waves beers, and that's it.
Right. And, you know, being a show that's about Chicago beer, I think we were like, you gotta have nobody does. If you come to Chicago, even if you're visiting or in Chicago, you want to drink Chicago beer.
Yeah.
Everyone can have Ballast Point. You can have it wherever.
Yeah.
And so whenever the handful of times I'd go there, I would always get the brewer or the locally brewed one first. Whatever that was my go-to. Because I've had all the other ones.
Yeah, and then considering that it's not even, like, the stuff comes in from Virginia, most of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just that was a bizarre setup for me.
And then even when Kings and Convict bought it, I think we all kind of speculated what was going to happen. What, were Kings and Convict going to open up a spot there?
First thing you're thinking is, you know, I've been to Kings and Convicts, and they got no business coming downtown. They need to fix that thing up there. But I think they were for outsiders, for lack of a better term, right? And they saw the opportunity, and they're like, listen, we're building a gigantic hotel and a gigantic production facility in fucking Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're buying fucking Ballast Point, and it is what it is, and we'll figure the shit out on the way. And I think, like, actually having killer beer was, like, part of the equation, but it wasn't at the top. It wasn't at the top of the priority list, you know?
And then now, since, like you said, they're in that Fulton Market area where Google, I think Facebook moved in there too. All of those companies, since Corona hit, have went work from home. I have not been over in that area. You've been to, like, Green Street Meats and Randolph being blocked off. But all those people aren't there. That was all built up because Google basically went in there. It was a meatpacking district, and there was nothing there. And now it's a bunch of overpriced condos and overpriced retail spaces. And I bet that rent at Ballast Point was ridiculous.
And
Haymarket has, where they had a 99-year lease.
Oh, Haymarket?
When they got their place.
Nice.
Before it all happened. So they're in, like, a way better situation than anyone else.
That's pretty sweet. Especially for that Haymarket location, because that was notorious for, like, it was a Bar Louie before Haymarket went in.
Right.
And Bar Louie was notorious for breaking their leases.
Yeah.
So it's cool that there's some stability there. Huh, I didn't realize that.
So I can't, like, that spot for Ballast Point had to be so much money. They had a rooftop area, but that's not a patio.
Did it open? Because it was closed when we
were. Yeah, it did open. But now with the pandemic, you kind of need a patio. No one wants to, like, how are you getting to this rooftop? You got to go up an elevator. You got to go inside, go up an elevator. That just, I think, probably turned a lot of people off. And you get up there, you got a great view, but you're drinking Ballast Point beer. Do you think did they have Kings and Convicts on?
I don't know.
They are saying temporarily. I do not think they open. I'd probably put money on them.
Last time I went there was to argue with my ex about this fucking property we bought. I'm like, you know what? I'm so upset. We're going to Ballast Point. We're not going somewhere else. We're going to Ballast Point, and you're going to get this fucking grunion.
But if you're there in that area as a beer person, you have Haymarket. You've got Cruz Blanca. And then you have one, I'm blanking on somebody else that's kind of not too far from there.
You could go to, just on that strip, you could hang out at the big hall that's never full because it's so big.
Oh, Kaiser Tiger?
You can hang out at Kaiser Tiger.
Yeah. I'd go to Cruz Blanca. I'd go to Ballast Point over Kaiser Tiger.
Yeah, you could walk down to Fulton if you wanted to.
Yeah. So what, why would you pick Ballast Point over Haymarket or Cruz Blanca? Like, only Cruz Blanca's the top.
Yeah.
Haymarket.
I don't know. The only reason you would is because, you know, it's happy hour and you're 10 deep and you want to go to a brewery, and all these other breweries we named are full. Ballast Point, you could slide right in and get your 10 people. That would be the top reason.
Yeah, I would go to, there was a Emporium right there that took over the cocktail bar.
Oh, yeah.
I'd go there over Ballast Point.
Forgot about
that. I was like, oh, I can get myself a pony or something like that and just, like, hang out here.
Play some pinball?
Yeah. Hmm. What am I going to do at Ballast Point? I got nothing to do here. I don't even know if they had TVs.
They threw a hell of a, the food was good. And it, yeah, the they, food was they great. Threw a hell of a launch party. I will give them that. The whole California, California marine seafood theme was money. I think all the beers are named after some sort of aquatic life
fish thing. Yeah.
Yeah. All that stuff was cool. But yeah, I mean, every flavor of sculpin you can imagine. It just, I don't know. Oh, but the sours, they did have a sour program that kind of got overlooked.
And they had like a barrel aged program.
That too.
They're good beers. They're just, they're always available, right? So it's kind of like, they're not interesting at all. Not that.
That's a fact.
Half-acre stuff is always available, but it's beers I want. Ballast Point is like beers that are always available that I don't really want.
It's not compelling to have a national brew pub in your backyard when you're such a uber locally focused scene.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really, it's a very difficult thing to get excited about.
Right.
You know, you got this national brand showing up on Fulton Market in West Loop, probably the best place for local food in the whole city. It just doesn't, I don't know if it really meshed, if it ever really meshed.
Right.
So.
And it didn't even...
God, we are going in on fucking...
Hey, I don't know. That's weird.
Man.
I just can't.
We gotta slow down, man. We're going in, man.
Some place like Rock Bottom does well. Why doesn't Ballast Point do it? It should literally be the same concept, right?
I agree with that. And when I go to Rock Bottom, well, A, Polar Lounge, Polar Beer Fest Lounge on the roof.
Yeah.
It's got some history. You know, Pete Crowley was the brewmaster there. One of the first faux bats, maybe the first faux bat ever, was at that Rock Bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I go there. I'm not expecting to be blown away by the beer. But the beer is going to be solid. Haley Shine, who now brews at fucking Eris, she took over after Pete. They've always had good beer. But it's always been, it's in a touristy part of town.
Yeah.
You know, it's by fucking, I was going to say Swingers, but Snickers. It's right by Snickers.
Yeah. There's like nothing pretentious about Rock Bottom. Where when you walked into Ballast Point, I felt like wasn't my thing. Like it was the wrong place because you also service worked because everything you ordered at the bar, it was sort of like I don't dislike this, but I don't feel like I'm welcome here. Although it looked nice, it was such a nice spot. I don't know.
Yeah, they redid the floors.
It's just weird. Like, I think if they called it Kings and Convicts, came back.
I think it was better than if, like, and this is not a knock on Oscar Blues, but that was a really big launch.
Yeah.
I imagine, like, if Oscar Blues tried to pull something off like that.
Or Stone. If Stone tried, people would be like, yeah.
But there's a very short list of crews that you would just be like, yes, that are national crews. Like, yes, please come do this here. Right.
Yeah, if Firestone Walker did it, maybe.
Maybe.
That's probably your best bet to, like, on a national kind of come into your town and be like, all right, Firestone Walker. And because Brendelson has roots here.
Exactly.
So yeah. Chicago beer people would, like, respect that.
You know, I don't have to travel to get cool Firestone shit. I can just go right here. It's all right here. Yes.
If I can drink more double barrel ale.
You know, give me that Sakaba. Give me that Sakaba right the fuck now. It's been a long day.
There we go. You know, Firestone Walker, take over that spot.
I'm in if Firestone Walker goes there.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got Midwest Roots. They're all part of the same crew with that Duval and Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You know, Pipeworks? Pipeworks should go in there.
Ooh. That'd be a big spot for Pipeworks.
Bold move, but you know,
probably might be able to get it dirt cheap. I feel like those guys are scrappy. They like would like seize that opportunity, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, who would we like to see go in there? If the return of Five Rabbit landed in there, I would check out Five Rabbit.
That's not as interesting as Pipeworks.
No, because Pipeworks don't have a tap room. You go to Pipeworks, they give you a little, you know.
Finches went.
All the jelly just fell out of my donut after hearing that, man.
So that's three.
Finch version five.
Yeah, so that's three breweries. I never want to wish ill will on anyone, but do you have any predictions on... we're going to see more. Like, we're going into winter. We're seeing more bars close. It's going to be hard if our cases are up, if we continue on our trajectory through the rest of the year. Like, we're going to see more places close. Anybody or...
Well, there is a trend forming, right? You look at, Argus died in part because they didn't have a packaged goods license. They couldn't really have a bar, a public-facing bar. They had a private bar you could visit on tours. There was really no infrastructure around there to support a brewery, right? Just walk-up sales for a brewery.
Okay.
This neighborhood, although there was an infrastructure in place at fucking Ballast Point, Kings of Convicts, I don't know if they necessarily supported the outsider that was Ballast Point. Right. Yeah, then Fire Rabbit was in essentially a remote location down in Bedford Park, mm-hmm. which is an entire fucking city. Like, you know how it's like a industrial strip mall city, right? Like the whole town is.
So there's no one coming to your industrial strip mall.
Yeah.
So you have no business.
So you're starting to see a trend there, right? Where like shit, you know, a Half Acre's going to work. Well, Half Acre's a bad example because they're one of like five biggest crews in town.
Right.
But a lot of these crews, the Metro's going to work because Metro's got a killer space. Metro's in a killer neighborhood that likes them.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they have Tracy and Doug also have a image and, I guess, reputation that, like, you know, people like and hate.
They got roots, too. I mean, you know, yeah. Lafleur spent some time there. Fucking Gary Gulley spent some time there, right? They're known for just opening their doors and for and just being like a source of knowledge for fellow brewers. But they're in cans too. These other folks that closed, I don't know if they were in any. Were any of them in cans?
Oh, well, Argus wasn't. Yeah, Five Rabbit was because we had the Cinco de Pelo.
Oh yeah, you're right. Cans. Yeah. So.
So, the brewery that comes to mind for me, one is Band of Bohemia.
Oh.
They have a spot with no pet. They may have expanded in the patio. I haven't been over there since all this happened. There's no beer in the stores. So you can't even get their beer. So what's happening over there?
Michelin star brew pub, but a lot of the experience is dependent on you sitting there and enjoying the dining piece, you know. And like almost too much of the experience is built into that.
Yeah.
You know.
We forgot to talk about this, and I'm blanking on the new name, but Urban Renewal changed their name and moved to a new space.
They moved out of the old, because that was the old
Metro space.
Yeah.
Yeah. They changed their name.
That's wild, because, you know, I think Koval is moving too.
Okay.
And Koval is next door to Urban Renewal.
Yeah, so I wonder if that building got sold or something. I forget what they changed their name to.
Urban Renewal is a weird name. Urban Renewal refers to like a federal plan to displace like poor people to build like a stadium or some shit. Like that's literally what Urban Renewal means. Hey, we're going to run this fucking expressway through this neighborhood. Oh, we have eminent domain. You live here? Too bad. Fuck off. It refers to that. That's a fucking horrible name. Hey, but so wait, where are they going?
I forget. There's a Facebook update. And okay. I like that. I like the brewer, and I like what they were doing, but they're not on my radar enough to even keep up with that much.
I didn't realize that.
That was a sidetrack.
Kind of what they're doing now, Brad.
So the only other brewery that's not in cans here in Chicago is Moody Tongue.
Oh yeah, the old Moody Tongue.
Or what's his name? Motor Row. Is Motor Row in cans?
Maybe.
Does Motoro have packaged beer?
Maybe.
So that could be.
Right? No, they... Shit. Oh, Urban Brew Labs.
Urban Brew Labs.
I like that. That's a little better.
Motoro. I forgot about Motoro. It just came to...
I want to say Motoro was brewing the lager for fucking Geno's. right?
Oh, yeah. Shit. Oh, yeah. Because, oh, yeah, I forgot that Geno's. So, really, we have four breweries that have closed.
So, really, the ones you're seeing impacted right away are the ones that just don't.
They don't have package. They have no package goods. So, Moody Tongue has package goods, and they are in other states and other countries with their beer.
China.
Right. So, Band of Bohemia. They.
Motor Rose got crowlers. I don't really see them. But...
Man. The overhead has to be pretty. That space is big. You've been there.
Yeah. Very small. Maybe room. Oh, no. Upstairs. They have seating upstairs. And then maybe like seating for six. Tanks are downstairs. Tasting room upstairs. Probably I'd say 20 or so. But that place goes three levels. Because the third level is like the lounge, that little jazz acts and blues and shit. They got options. Like, I haven't been down there in a while, but they got a thing that I could see being sustained down there.
To make it?
Because it's basically a live music venue on the third floor.
There's never going to be live music again.
Oh, shit. You know, just when I think I'm coping just fine with the COVID shit, you... lay some facts on me, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. Who the fuck's going to see live music? There's space to rent it out for 20 people, though.
Okay.
20 people that know each other could still rent it out.
I wonder if that's how some of these places survive in winter, like small parties, not so much like wedding venue kind of craziness.
It's too big.
But hey, I got 20 friends. We want to have like a really nice dinner, and we're gonna come out and rent out your space.
Do some cool shit. We may or may not have Rona, but we know each other. We're going down with the ship. That kind of crew. And there's 20 of us. What's going on?
Right.
Goose is renting out that bus for something similar to this.
The one that doesn't move?
Yeah, the private dining experience on the bus.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, you know, to your point, like they're kind of taking advantage of that. So,
I think that's probably what we'll have to see in the winter is. Bars and restaurants rent out their space as like small party things. So, taking Moody or not, Band of Bohemian or Motor Row.
Band of Bohemian, Motor Row, and maybe Moody Tongue. That's on your list. I don't know, but I'm thinking whoever's not in cans or whoever's in a strange neighborhood where, you know, those are the two factors so far.
I would worry about
a strange fit for them. It could be a cool neighborhood, but it's a strange fit for them.
Yeah, I would worry about All Rise too, but I feel like All Rise has like a weird history. There's some shady stuff. There's some people that like, and it's a live venue spot.
I tell you, if Donald Trump loses this fucking election, on election night, All Rise is going to be packed. It's going to be packed, and it's going to be buzzing.
Okay.
I'll tell you that.
All right. All Rise is my wild card. Oh, man. All right. We got Goose Island stuff to talk about.
Goose, yeah. Fully online with the Black Friday. Which kind of sucks because it's the 10th anniversary of Black Friday.
Whoa.
So Benny's is online with a lottery, and so is Jewel Osco.
Okay.
I noticed that Jewel Osco, of like the 15 locations, only three of them are in the city. So you go to the Jewel Osco lottery, which is live right now, and they'll tell you on November, the week of Black Friday. So November 24th, the Tuesday, they'll tell you if you won, you'll get an email. And then... you get to pick your top three jewel options of where to pick up.
Okay.
And there's 15 options, and only three of those are in the city, which is kind of tough. I think the one on, like, West Loopish.
Okay.
The one on the north side here at Southport. And then another one. Fuck, I forgot what the other one was.
Okay. So they don't want this is general to stop people from lining up. And we kind of wondered, I don't know, a couple shows ago, what Benny's was going to do.
Yeah.
Because you don't want people lining up. You don't want people hanging out. You can't have people hanging out.
It was really one of the original camp out overnight releases.
Yeah, maybe that or Dark Lord Day. Or not Dark Lord Day, Dark Lord Day, yes. Yeah. But Darkness, Dark Lord Day, and then...
And this.
And then from there, it spiraled out of control.
Yeah.
So you don't want people hanging outside, so it's a way to get people... So you get the lottery, and you have the opportunity to then buy it.
Yeah. Beer. And if you're looking at the prices, there's 7 bottles. If you look at the prices... This puts you around $130 pre-tax if you buy them all.
How many times can you enter the lottery?
I don't really see if there's a limit. On prop day, there was a limit of 1.
Okay.
Cause
like one email or what?
Exactly, like so one time entry. You get a week.
You could have multiple emails?
Yeah.
You could have like, because you can just, can't you just add like something onto your Gmails?
Right, so you could do that. Yeah. But like one limit per day, one entry per day. They kind of encourage that. But this year was just 1 entry, period, per person. So there's no limit on the entries with these other 2, as far as I could tell. Mm. So, and those were the 2 big outlets. These other places, like I think somebody brought up a good point today, I think, about Fountainhead's closing, which sucks.
Right.
But Fountainhead Market apparently would sell the whole Goose County, the Bourbon County lineup. So that's like a dark horse, you know. But I think they might be moving to the online, too. I know Beer Temple is another spot you can get it. That might be moving online.
Okay.
So I'm wondering who... I'm guessing places like Capone's and Puerto Rico Liquors, you could just roll up and get it.
Right. Miscas.
Miscas. Places that, don't have fucking...
They barely have a credit card machine, kind of.
We're not paying someone for a BCS site.
We're not paying for internet.
But you want a lottery? You better get your ass over here and stand in line. What's wrong with you? But Benny's is, I like the Benny's thing. Because, you know, last thing I want to do is hang out all fucking night the day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
For these fucking beers. I mean, but I do want to try them.
Right. And so I will reiterate what I've always said. Like, you have a lot of opportunities to try these in Chicago. That may be limited this time because there's less kegs probably made of these beers, but that means there is more of the beer getting bottled. I would guess Goose Island doesn't keg as much because they know, but they're still going to keg some for
nice surprise.
The hope that they're able to use these later, but they're not going to keg. They're not nearly going to keg as many.
Yeah, but I think to your point, you're going to see, because I remember a few years ago, it was like, oh, we were in 8 cities, now we're in 16 cities for Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like kind of the exact same thing in Chicago. Where it's like, you know, the 16, 20 cities all doing Black Friday stuff. I hope you don't go to some random town 8 months from now. You're like, you're in Seattle and you see this shit sitting on the shelf.
Yeah.
I hope they show a little more local love. Because that's been a thing over the years. Like, these other towns will have tons of this stuff, like, months after the launch. And you're like, really?
But then again, you could still pick up regular Bourbon County in Chicago.
Oh, dude, you can go get Cafe Diala and Midnight Orange right now. So like, a whole row of it.
Last year was, I think, at the peak. All right, that's probably as... And we're going to see more bottled, so... And I bet less people are going in just randomly and picking up these beers, so they're going to sit on the shelf for a long time.
Yeah, these look a little more interesting, to be fair. The last couple years, super experimental, right, as far as, like, nothing on the market like those beers. This year, I think they've kind of seen – they're paying attention to trends, clearly, because there is some version of these beers. Even we talked about the spiced one with the tea in it. Well, you know, there's a version of Orin that had tea in it last year. That kind of thing. Like, you're seeing – elements of these variants have already been released in local versions at other breweries.
And we get to try them next week, right?
Yeah. We're trying them next week. We're going to try the whole line.
We're going to do a – we'll do a video next week, maybe of us trying them all.
It's coming up quick, man. That's Wednesday.
Yeah, so our next episode that's going to come out will be us drinking all of those.
Yes, all 7.
So probably get some food, too, because it's dangerous. I remember my last tasting. I'm not sure what happened.
Oh, dude, I think we went and I was like...
We recorded, we drank so many of them, hung out.
Like, if they're at the pub, there's usually food.
Yeah.
But if they're at the warehouse, I think you might just get hit with, like, some charcuterie, you know? And you've been pounding BCS for 3 hours. Yeah,
charcuterie and BCS, they just void each other.
And you're like, yo, we got to get out of here. And they're like, yeah, that's the plan. You have to go. That's why we didn't fucking party hard. You got to go.
But we're going to party hard because we'll have them all to drink.
That should be good.
Cool. So, yeah, check out these. If you want to get these beers, get on the online lottery or, you know, just check your spot afterwards. Really, the grocery stores aren't as busy because more people are ordering online. So you can probably roll up there and see what a lot of them have. And a lot of the grocery stores get them like the week later.
Oh, yeah. Like Whole Foods is not a Black Friday release. It's a week or two later.
Yeah.
I know Capone's is like that too.
Right. Like some Misca's. Like yeah. A lot of these bars, like it's the distributor hits the following week.
It's like a little wave. Uh-huh. And that sometimes that can be just as fun. Because Black Friday, forget about it. You got to be at Costco, but now you're at Costco with all these jerks.
Right.
And we're doing battle over the last bottle of Reserve.
This year, do not go to Costco and stand in line. Our cases are spiking. They're going to continue to spike. You don't need to get Corona over for Bourbon County. That's would be the worst. I waited in line for this beer and I got Corona.
I just had a flashback of like, you know, Costco opens at 10 a.m. and like all these jerks are just like pushing to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, all right, people. I hate these people.
All right. I think that's all we got before we ramble more on about our love/hate of Ballast Point. You did say something about PBR has a new...
Oh, yeah. PBR is doing a seltzer, a cannabis-infused seltzer.
Cannabis-infused seltzer. Coca-Cola has a hard seltzer coming out.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. In their... I think it's the Mexican soda that they own. They're coming out with a hard seltzer. The Tropica? Yeah.
Hard seltzer wave is here, man. The California is the only place you can get because you can't put cannabis in alcohol products here in Illinois.
Oh.
But in Cali, they're partnering with dispensaries. You can pick it up at a dispensary.
Could we at some point? Like, why couldn't we?
I think it's just the law.
And our law doesn't.
Our law won't allow that. It's got to be separate.
Beverage.
You could put CBD. That's why you could put CBD in an alcoholic beverage.
But you could sell them separately and put drops in your beverage, right?
I mean, just sell the package, and it's not the same.
Yeah, kind of like a make your own cocktail.
I mean, that would work.
Okay.
You know, all the wacky Halloween fall beers are in Buffalo Grove. They've got a candy corn beer coming out. Microphone's doing the pumpkin hazy beer.
Okay.
I might be in for
that. That's interesting.
The Taffy Apple people, Affy Tapple, they partnered with Phase 3 and they made they had a launch for an Affy Tapple ale this week too.
Hmm. So, okay.
I don't know about that. Sounds a little, that's a little too much. But the pumpkin haze.
That sounds interesting.
It's a milkshake pumpkin. Kind of curious.
Try it. Don't we have a microphone beer to try?
Smells like, Canceled Beer Fest.
Yeah. So we still got that to try.
I'm not refunding me my money yet for this goddamn party. It's not them. It's Brown Paper Tickets.
Okay.
It's not microphone. Brown Paper Tickets is acting like I don't exist. And then I'm following some of these threads and they're acting like a lot of people don't exist. Brown Paper Tickets took the money and ran. I got to call I had to call my bank and say, service is not rendered.
Yeah.
Cancel this fucking transaction.
The bank will be fine. They'll be like, okay.
I'm fine. But, you know, but BPT, come on. What are you guys doing?
They're like, we want your money.
Nick, what the fuck it look like we're doing?
We're taking your money, man.
Clearly, this is us taking your fucking money.
We're fucking you. What are you going to No?
Don't be confused, okay? That's what's happening.
All right, let's get out of here. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
I'm on Twitter, man, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at BBrad, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And yeah, we'll be back on the next episode with the Bourbon County lineup.
Yeah.
Should be fun. And then we got some Half Acre Zor to drink, too, coming up.
Zor.
Pale Ale. It was a pale ale.
Okay.
Okay.
Cheers.